From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, December 2nd, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things started officially with
the Daily Datagram?
Yes, sir. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets, you get to make the call. It says you're doing a thing wrong for a long period of time, gives it the superficial appearance of being right. And once you understand that, you'll understand how government works.
I'm going to put him in jail till he rots.
Just occurred to me, I almost forgot our Monday march back to work. Let's do that. Shoulders back, stiffen that backbone, put a smile on your face, keep a prayer on your lips, and everything is going to be just fine. Now, let's move along to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
So I've been told.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Okay.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
You're right. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1939, New York City's LaGuardia Airport opened. It was later affectionately named after the New York mayor, his own self, Fiorello LaGuardia, who served from, I think it was 1934 through 1945, and is still remembered as perhaps the city's best-loved mayor. And physically, he bore a striking resemblance to Lou Costello, almost a deadbringer for the guy. He was cool. In fact, when the newspapers were on strike, sometime back in the early 1940s, Mayor LaGuardia went on radio and read the funny papers to the kids. It was really cool. And it was on this day in 1970. Oh, did I mention that LaGuardia was a Republican? Yeah, perhaps I should have mentioned that. Okay, it was on this day in 1970, the Environmental Protection Agency, you know, the EPA, began operations. I like the use of that word there, operations, because they've been operating on polluters for 54 years. A little overzealous they are, but thanks to them, these days you can actually swim in Lake Erie without losing body parts.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Not that this is anything new, but Texas stands as a focal point amid discussions on mass deportations under President-elect Trump. He's going to do it. He's already putting the little ducks in a row now. Something now called the Jocelyn Initiative. And it's named after 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungaray. And this aims to establish deportation facilities within the state. Just to kind of recap, remind you that Jocelyn was lost to violence. Allegedly, I have to say the word allegedly, otherwise I can be sued. But allegedly committed by illegal immigrants, illegal aliens from the Venezuelan TDA gang, Tren de Aragua. Now, this proposal is receiving backing from our governor here in Texas, Greg Abbott. Thank God for Greg Abbott. And Land Commissioner Dawn Buckingham. And they're seeking to prevent further violent crimes of that nature. And they want to support the impacted families and prevent other families from being so impacted. Supporters, of course, believe these facilities are going to enhance safety, citing previous incidents as markers of dire need. But mark my words, once this process starts, you're going to hear those idiots on the left. They're going to start pointing their finger at Texas and other states, should other states agree to do the same thing, and that is donate huge parcels of land to be used as staging areas for these deportations. And those lefties, those unhinged Trump derangement syndrome lefties, are going to be pointing at us and saying, well, you have concentration camps. Well, yeah, that's what they are. They are concentration camps. These are camps where we concentrate people who don't belong here, people who are here illegally, so that we can deport them. Now, understand this about our friends. I'm going to put that word friends in quotes. Our friends on the left. Understand this one thing. They have no use for borders, period. They don't believe the world should have any borders. They don't believe that any country should be sovereign. Okay? So once you understand that about them, it's easier to dismiss them as idiots, because that's exactly what they are. Now, Texas so far has offered 1,400 acres to host one of these centers, or maybe a couple of centers. I don't know how large they're going to be. And this is a move standing in stark contrast to opinions from most Democrat officials. Not all, but most. Now, are you familiar with a fellow by the name of Peter St. Ange? He's a visiting fellow with the Heritage Foundation. His field of expertise is economics. And I want you to give a listen to him here. He's going to explain something very important to you. Of course, left-wing media claims mass deportations are going to cripple the economy for lack of workers. Nothing could be further from the truth. In reality, the jobs will simply go to Americans. We'll start collecting a decent paycheck. Here's Peter St. Ange.
Left-wing media, or is it leftover media, is in full-blown panic over mass deportations, which are overwhelmingly supported by voters and therefore will happen. Government-funded NPR warns deportation will, quote, destroy the construction industry. Fast Company says it would, quote, cripple California, which is already crippled in many ways. The New York Times conjures a dystopia of Americans being forced to mow their own lawn and, brace yourself, clean your own house. So is it true? Will we have to clean our own hotel rooms? Now, nobody actually knows how many illegal workers there are. That's kind of the point of being undocumented. But the doom porn industry is clustering around an estimate of 6 million from a 2022 study. Add at least another million or two courtesy of Brandon. Breaking it down, they estimate about a quarter, so about 1.5 million, work in construction, another quarter in manufacturing and warehousing, yet another quarter in restaurants, retail, and hotels, and the final quarter in services from landscaping to picking fruit to janitors. Note, what all these jobs have in common is they are overwhelmingly low skill. They take months or even weeks to master. This is not engineers and doctors. This matters because even if we're talking 7 million illegals, there are at least 16 million Americans under the age of 35 who are out of the workforce. They're not working, they're not going to school, they're not doing anything. Many are on government benefits. Many others live with their parents. According to the Census Bureau, the percent of Americans who are 18 to 35 living with their parents just hit the highest since the Great Depression. So why are they living with mom and dad at 30? Because entry-level jobs pay peanuts when you are competing with illegals. One large study in California found the average hourly pay is $30 for native-born Americans. For legal immigrants, it's $28, almost as good. For green card holders, it's $24, and for illegals, it is $16, which just so happens to be California's minimum wage. So why are illegals so cheap? Because the vast majority are unskilled or even illiterate. That's why they could not get in legally. Also because many are not paying taxes. They're undocumented, after all. Either way, they bring the wages to the floor. In other words, it's not that Americans won't do these jobs, it's that they won't do these jobs for minimum wage. Keep in mind, a lot of these jobs are hard work, so picking fruit in the hot sun, carrying slabs of sod, sweating in a factory for minimum wage is no way to tempt basement-dwelling 25-year-olds into the labor force. So going back to the doom porn, nobody is crippled because we don't lose the work. The fruit is still picked, the factory is still humming, the hotel rooms sparkle. We simply do it with American workers who would otherwise be idle. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. The leftover media will keep pumping out deportation fear porn, and the economy will be just fine. Blue collars will just have jobs that actually pay. Yes, this will boost costs, but in return, houses get cheaper. Empty houses, lower prices. You'll be able to go to the hospital or find a specialist without waiting in line behind an illegal who has never paid a dime into Medicaid. And of course, government spending plunges as millions of welfare cases go home, while millions more get off mom and dad's couch and go to work.
So I trust you get his drift, right? Okay. Well, now, while Texas prepares now to support Trump's deportation agenda, and Trump has the full support of our governor, Greg Abbott, you got your Democrat officials who voiced strong opposition, very strong opposition, which is what they do. Once Trump is inaugurated, I mean, things are kind of quiet right now. But once Trump is inaugurated, the squeaky wheel over there on the left is going to be squeaking louder and louder and louder. But we've got former ICE Director Tom Holman, who's already on the job. And he critiqued Democrat Representative AOC for her stance on asylum seeking. Yeah, she's trying to hang everything on asylum. See, all these people are here to seek asylum. Yeah. Sorry, Toots. I'm not buying that. And he emphasized that legality should govern the process. He says, if you want to seek asylum, you go through the port of entry. You do it the legal way. Now, Trump isn't even in office yet, but already Tom Holman has been on the job. He's been on the scene. He was here in Texas the other day. This was last week. And he gave a very nice little pep talk to his border agents.
What you've done is not only protect the state of Texas and the citizens of Texas, you are protecting this nation. And it's a shame we have other governors and other mayors who are right out of the gate. I said they're going to push back on President Trump and what we're trying to do, especially for interior enforcement. Let me be clear. There is going to be a mass deportation because we just finished a mass illegal immigration crisis on the border where anybody can look at 9 out of 10 people claim asylum at the border will end up with an order of removal. So you can't ask for the right to claim asylum, the right to see a judge, the right to due process, and we give you that due process, and at the end of that due process, a federal judge orders you removed. We have to remove them because if we don't, shut down immigration court. Those orders don't mean anything anymore. Take you guys off the border because there's no consequences. So you can't demand due process and the right to claim asylum and not obey the court order. That is why there needs to be a mass deportation. We have a mass number of people, millions of people, who will get a final order and be ordered removed. If we don't do it, what is the option? Let them stay? Because if you let them stay, you'll never fix the border. There'll be companies, you're going to send a message to the rest of the world. Enter the country legally, which is a crime. Ignore court order, you never have to go home. We're telling the whole world it's okay to enter this country legally, you never got to go home. We're a nation of laws, and we're going to enforce the laws. The men and women of ICE, they're going to have a tough job ahead of them. And I'm sending a message for people that said they're going to get in our way. They're going to stop us from doing what we're doing on interior enforcement operation. I've said 100 times in last week, don't cross that line. It's a felony to knowingly harbor and conceal an illegal alien from immigration authorities. Don't test us. The nation wants a safe country. We've had enough crime in this country, illegal alien crime. It's time to end it and stop it. President Trump's committed to it. He's committed to securing this border. He's committed to having this mass deportation operation and concentrating on public safety threats and national security threats. For any mayor or governor who's going to push back on removing public safety threats from your community, that is your number one responsibility. You ought to be teaming up with us.
That's an excellent point. They ought to be teaming up with us. For instance, the Denver mayor, what's his name? Now, he was defiant at first, but now he seems to be singing a little different tune. Not different enough to suit Donald Trump, but Trump will bring him around, believe me. So this political divide manifests pretty sharply in debates over border security and how the Biden administration's policies are linked to the crimes that are constantly being committed by illegal aliens. And critics are arguing that current measures fail to address underlying security threats, showcasing the urgency for reform. Well, reform has been needed for a long time, and reform is a lot easier to get under executive order than it is through legislation. But now that we have a Republican majority in both the House and the Senate, I would really bet on some real change coming down. Now, I could be wrong, because I've seen this go by the wayside so many times. I mean, gee whiz, I've been watching politics since 1960. Now, the introduction of deportation facilities under the Joselyn Initiative, which is a great idea, forces a broader examination of U.S. immigration policies, which have been totally ignored for the last 4 years. There was no immigration policy during the Biden administration. We know this. And for Texans, the promise of enhanced safety and reduction in crimes remains a central argument supporting the development of these centers. So Dawn Buckingham, she's terrific. She says, we're going to do everything in our power to ensure that no other parent has to feel the pain that Alexis, which was Nungaray's mother, Jocelyn Nungaray's mom, and Jacqueline Nungaray, who's the grandmother, are feeling right now. So as this debate heats up, and it will, it'll heat up even more so after the inauguration, Texas remains in the spotlight. And we represent both the potential for reform and the challenges of implementing changes amid strong political and public resistance. Now, we're not getting as much public resistance as we are from politics. You talk to New Yorkers these days, ask New Yorkers, especially longtime residents of New York, ask them how they feel about the current situation where crime is concerned in the Big Apple, and you will not get a pretty picture. So the coming months are going to be pivotal in determining whether these facilities actually become a reality or remain confined to the drawing board. But if I were a betting man, especially knowing our governor the way I do, these things are going to happen. These staging centers will take shape. Samuel Short, writing for the Western Journal, an excellent publication, says that in the aftermath of Election Day, old Democrat strategist, the mouth of the South, James Carville, is looking for answers as to what went wrong with the Kamala Harris campaign. Now, the Daily Caller reports that the Harris campaign spent nearly $1.5 billion since it began on July 21st. Well, back on Wednesday last week, Carville gave his thoughts on the Politics War Room podcast, where he told co-host Al Hunt that there's a spending problem in the party that needs to be addressed. Gee, do you think? Now, the resistance is going to have trouble raising money, Carville says. He says the fundraisers are burnt. The damage the 2024 campaign has done, the damage this decade has done to the Democrat brand is almost unfathomable. And he's not wrong. There's a major point that he misses. Get to that in just a minute. But he followed up with what he believes needs to happen next, and because I mean, just an unfathomable amount of money it was spent. And he said one word: audit. Now, although Carville shot down the idea of running for chair of the DNC himself, who would want that job, right? He was pretty resolute in his opinion that Democrats need to figure out where all of Harris funding went in just a few months' time. He says, do you have any idea where that money went? Does anybody have any idea where that money went? I always got a big kick out of the way he talked. Anyhow, to give Carville credit, Harris most definitely did have a spending problem based on information that's readily available. The campaign found itself $20 million in debt after the fact, with purchases like $5,000 on nails from nail artist Tavia Kroc. And if Carville seems angry and disappointed now, an audit probably won't help, because you're going to find far more idiotic purchases. And although there's plenty of merit to Carville's criticisms, plenty of it, the point, this is what I was alluding to a minute ago, he's still missing the big point, and that is about the Democrats' main problem, which is the message. The Democrats have gone so far off the rails to the extreme left, I really seriously wonder if the party that I used to favor, if that party is ever going to come back. I don't think they can. Not without a major restructure. I mean major restructuring of the party. Now, when you spend the election cycle, and arguably the past 8 years, telling half the country that they're evil racists, Nazis, and a threat to democracy, through their support of a man who's supposedly America's Adolf Hitler, they probably won't vote for you, okay? And this spending problem that the Democrats have, I find it rather interesting that Carville doesn't seem to understand this. This spending problem started back in 2009 when Barack Obama took the White House. Immediately, they started printing money. Not a little bit of money, a lot of money. Our national debt right now is just incredible. In fact, I find it, of course, I'm not an expert in the field of finance, but I find it rather interesting that the country hasn't gone belly up yet. And probably the only reason we haven't is because most other nations are doing the same thing. There could very well be, if something isn't done quickly, there could very well be a worldwide financial collapse. Well, money's always an issue in campaigns. Having enough of it, the origin of it, who's it going to? But Carville's mistaken. If he thinks better spending habits are going to win Democrats the White House in 2028. Because it's not the spending problem, it's the ideology, what there is of it among the Democrats. They're insane. When they started talking about men having babies and men transitioning to females and allowing men into washrooms. But even more bizarre were the picks that Biden made during his administration. Rachel, what's her name? What's his name? The bald-headed dude who stole luggage. Remember him? I mean, just absolute insanity. And there was a long period of time there toward the beginning of the Biden administration where his appointments were based sheerly on how bizarre a person he could find. He wasn't just looking for people of color and females. He was looking for some of the most bizarre personalities he could locate and then giving them a job. Now, according to Newsweek, Harris underperformed with black voters, Hispanic voters, and young voters compared to President Biden in 2020. Now, Democrats don't need to lean further into identity politics. I mean, I don't think that they can repair the damage they've done with that concept over the last 10 years, 8 years. I mean, it's like they are fixated on that. What Democrats need to do is shift their principles to more closely align with that of the voters. They weren't even close to the voters. So if Carville really wants his party to change, they need a whole new message, a whole new ideology. And I just don't think that's going to happen because they continue to kowtow to the elites, to the Hollywood morons. And again, just like Biden himself, the Democrat Party these days keeps gravitating toward the most bizarre and most outlandish personalities they can find. And they want them to speak for us? It's not going to work, my friend. It's just not going to work. Clearly, one of the shady areas in government over the last several years, not just the last four, but several years, has been the FBI. Not a lot of trust in the FBI these days, and that needs to be turned around. And I think they might be on the right track in the Trump administration with the nomination over the weekend of Kash Patel. Let me read for you what Donald Trump posted on his Truth Social media site. He said, I'm proud to announce that Kashyap Kash Patel will serve as the next director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Kash is a brilliant lawyer, investigator, and America First fighter who has spent his career exposing corruption, defending justice, and protecting the American people. He played a pivotal role in uncovering the Russia hoax, standing as an advocate for truth, accountability, and the Constitution. Kash did an incredible job during my first term, where he served as Chief of Staff of the Department of Defense, Deputy Director of National Intelligence, and Senior Director for Counterterrorism at the National Security Council. Kash has also tried over 60 jury trials. This FBI will end the growing crime epidemic in America, dismantle the migrant criminal gangs, and stop the evil scourge of human and drug trafficking across the border. Cash will work under our great Attorney General Pam Bondi to bring back fidelity, bravery, and integrity to the FBI. I like that. Fidelity, bravery, and integrity. FBI. Well, it's no secret to anyone that there is, at least in the upper level, the upper echelon of the FBI, there needs to be a complete overhaul. There's been, we're ending up an era where the FBI played fast and loose with the truth. And again, you know, when you're searching for truth, you also have to look into omissions, things that they're not telling you, because any body of people, any committee, any organization can lie to you just as much through omission as they do through just outright telling you lies. And I've been watching this guy, Christopher Wray, the current head of the FBI, over the last several years in his many appearances before congressional committees. And the man is just not forthcoming with information. I mean, even when he has been subpoenaed to show up, the man can be amazingly evasive. And I'm sorry, but evasion is not truth. And the American people, all of us, are not just entitled to the truth. Through our taxes, we are paying for the truth, and we're just not getting it. Hopefully, Mr. Trump will be able to turn all that around. Let's kick back for a few minutes with some laughs in the comedy corner with Jay Bliss.
All right, before I get started, just to let y'all know, I'm not Darius Rucker. I'm not. Do not ask. I'm not him, all right? It's my first time in Utah. Yeah. I went to y'all Target today. And I was playing this game when I was in there called Find the Black Dude. Security was playing the same game. And they won, so it was crazy. I was almost late getting here, man. I was nervous. I thought I was going to be late driving through Utah, and I had to stop at one of y'all gas stations to get gas, and it took me 30 minutes to get gas, and I wasn't used to it. I didn't know if it was a Utah thing, but got to the gas pump, put my card in. They said debit or credit, and I said debit. They said, what's your code? I put my code in. They was like, what's your zip code? I was like, I don't even live here. What you need to know my zip code for? They was like, you want a hot dog? I was like, no, I'm gonna get some gas. He's like, you want a car wash? I'm like, no. He said, we got fountain drinks inside. Why are we having a conversation? You shop at Smith's? I don't live here. I hit the wrong button, they canceled my whole transaction. I'm looking for the manager, they didn't even have a car wash. I was like, wait a minute, didn't you just ask me if I wanted a car wash? I started all the way over again. They was like, you want a car wash? I said, you know what? Yes, I want a car wash. Now what? And three Mexicans walked out. I said, this is... The Mexican dude was cool, though. He was just telling me that the car wash is behind the gas station. But I like how y'all laughed because y'all thought they came out to wash my car. That was a test. Y'all failed that miserably. Y'all... I'm not judging. It's early, all right? It's early. Recently single again. I don't like being single. I don't like the whole dating thing. The reason why I don't like dating is because I always end up dating a ghetto chick, but I never know she ghetto in the beginning. I don't find out till way later when she get comfortable with the date and she'll just hit me with a ghetto smack out of nowhere. Some of y'all got quiet like y'all don't know what that is. That's when a girl is so involved in her conversation, she has to stop talking to gather her spit together and then continue on with the conversation. And it'll catch you off guard if you never heard her before, but it sounds something like this. So it was me, Nikki, and Shay, right? I said, did you just hit me with a ghetto smack? She was like, no. I thought you said we were going to a restaurant. I said, oh, we are. She said, where are we going? I said, McDonald's now. She said, "Ooh, good, because I was hungry. Let me get a double cheeseburger. Ooh, a large fry." I said, "Get out of my car."
Make it a terrific Monday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
That's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.